Fall on me, ascoltami. Fall on me, abbracciami. Fall on me with all your light.
Andrea Bocelli, See, the new album, out now.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hillary Parker, the Parkersaurus.
Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay. Susie, going toe-to-tobin.
Anna,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. It's the day after Halloween. Little hungover from pieting.
It's November. We made it. November 1st. I can't believe it's already November of this year. It just flew by. It feels just like yesterday that I was doing whatever I did on New Year's, which I don't remember. Oh, yeah. I was at my friend's house. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. I was, you know, kind of in hipster comedy LA for Halloween, so it was a lot of, like, Breaking Bad characters and, you know, hooker nurses, as is always the year in Hollywood. And today, the Rent Monster arrived.
Oh, yeah. The scariest monster of all. The spookiest.
Lucy, the landlord. Honey, do you have your rent check? It's like the scariest sound, and it happens every month. Okay, so everybody, welcome to the show. It's Real Housewives of Dallas Day. Before we start, are you ready for some quick plugs? Next week, we are going to be doing this very recap, Real Housewives of Dallas in Seattle. Seattle. So everybody, come
there. It's Washington. In Washington.
I got scared. I was like, I'm too stupid to do a state with it. If I just mess everything up.
You're like, Seattle, Michigan. Yeah. No, yeah, Seattle.
Yeah, it's like you have no brains. So we're going to Seattle, Washington, and we're going to be doing that next week. And
which
then
is good, by the way, because the previews for next week's Dallas look absolutely amazing. So I'm very, very excited already to be able to recap Leanne raising her fist against Deandra in Seattle.
Yes, and just as a preview, Deandra started it. So I'd like to put that out there. So we'll be there watching these ladies outwhite the whiteness of Denmark. And then in December, we will be in Nashville recording something fantastic. So come see that. It's right before Christmas, everybody. It's the last time to see us in 2018. If you want links for or ticket links for those shows, just go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, you're going to find ticket links there for our store where we are selling Christmas and Hanukkah shirts. Both of them are Ramona Singer themed, okay? Christmas is ho, 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 okay? And Hanukkah is Happy Ramonica, with Ramona as the menorah candles. So everybody, go get those, pay our rent, make us happy little bitches. And I think that's it, Ben, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that our little, you know, online merch shop does not even compare to Net-a-Porter, but you know, we do our best.
How dare you say it doesn't compare to Net-a-Porter? Yeah, Net-a-Porter, it blows it out of the water, okay? We're not even the same lake. It's Net-a-Porter. You are disgusting.
That was in Net-a-Porter taste.
Oh, God, it's going to be that kind of episode today.
Certainly will be. I'm actually looking at the Ho-Ho shirt right now because I'm looking. I'm like, I want to get a, let me get a sweatshirt version.
I'm already get you one, but then you said not to, so I just got myself one instead.
That's fine. I mean, get one. I might get one in heather purple. Heather purple, which that's actually not very festive. I guess it should be green. Heather Kelly. I like that. It's like two different Real Housewives made a color together. Heather Kelly.
Heather and Kelly.
I'm just going to amuse myself with color. Speaking of Heather, before we jump into this madness, Heather Dubrow, Architectural Digest, did a photo shoot in Heather Dubrow's home. Ronnie, we talked about it on our Google Hangout this week. Did you get a chance to see that slideshow yet by any chance?
No, I saw her gerbil eyes on the screen, and I was like, no, ma'am. No, I will not subject myself to this in your stupid ball house, okay? There's no Cinnabon in there, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it is like, I mean, we only get to see a little slice of it. And obviously it's large and has all sorts of like cool modern accoutrements. She has in the article, they describe that in her kitchen island, she has like a trough in the island that's like 6 inches deep. So that way she can fill it with ice and serve caviar and crudités to guests, which on the one hand, I'm like, that is like so ridiculous and so stupid. On the other hand, I'm like, kind of cool. Like I kind of get it, but I also feel like the functionality of that is so limited. There better be a cover for that trough. Like, how do you just have a trough in the middle of your kitchen island? You know, like you're not a restaurant, you know?
Well, she has the pizza ovens to be one. You know, yeah. I just think it's an awkward time in society. It's an awkward time in America to be like, here's my 19th gazillion dollar house that I don't need. And then I saw she was posting clips of her office. Like, do you need an office to steal intermittent fasting for yourself? Okay? I don't think you need that. I don't know. I don't like Heather Dubrow. I think she's a total asshole and a jackass, and she's meat a waiter. So she can suck a gigantic corn dog, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, one of the other issues is that the entire house is in full neutral, like beyond neutral. Like you don't even get like a pop of color. I think I saw one turquoise vase, and you know that was something that, you know, Terry insisted on. Like that's like where he keeps his onion rings, because it was so like it was all gray, mauve, beige, tan, ash, whatever. And I understand going to extreme neutrals, but you have to one of the reasons why you have neutrals, I believe, in my non-experienced interior design sense, is that that way you have like pops of color to bring it to life. And it's just so cold and stark in there. And I think it's so perfect that that's Heather Dubrow's fortress, you know, just like this cold, stark, neutral, black, gray, white,
the big
beige,
marble
blah.
Cage.
Yeah.
Enjoy your big marble cage. Also, on the outside of it, it's huge. It takes up the whole lot. And this is a huge house. And I was looking at the aerial. So, you know, look, for someone who hates her and didn't pay any attention, I still know a lot about it because people keep posting about it. So I saw the outside of the house, and it takes up the whole lot. And it's like a foot away. I mean, of course, this is aerial. But from the house next door, it's a typical L.A. or, I mean, it's not L.A., but California housing setup where the houses are, like, a foot away from each other.
It's so stupid.
Which, like, if you're rich, don't you want some time alone? Like, you know, you have this huge lot. Do you really need a mall?
Don't you want, like some, like, rolling estates? I mean, half the reason why those, like, big English country homes are so beautiful is because they're big, but then they also have these lush lands all around them and gardens and places that look so nice on Downton Abbey. And this is just, like, Downton Crabby, because they're all like, I mean, how do you, if you're so next to someone else, like, how do you feel a sense of luxury if your giant mall house is next to another mall? Like, what's the point of going to the Danbury Fair Mall if there's like the Mall of America right next to it, you know?
Yeah, El Paso, you can't put a Cielo Vista right next to a Bassett Center. One of them's not going to do as well.
Yeah, I mean, look here in L.A., the Beverly Center. The Beverly Center is just, like, wheezing on life support next to the Grove. The Beverly Center is, like, here in L.A., the Beverly Center is, like, a real housewife who's been demoted to friend of and is trying to get back on. So she's, like, changing up her look. She's getting fillers. She's doing, like, getting a little facelift, you know, a little Botox, trying to be like, no, I'm, like, I'm a great cast member. But the Grove is all like, I've taken over this show, and I have the center apple now.
Yeah, but Ugh.
I'm sorry. The Beverly Center is more like someone who used to be in the center and is off to the side. And the Beverly Connection, which is directly across the street from the Beverly Center, that's like the Eden Sassoon of malls.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the Dana Wilkie. Like, you don't know when it's going to be thrown in jail, you know? And you have a feeling it's defrauding you. But at the same time, that's where you go for Ross Dress for Less, Target. That's like the poor people's revenge. Like, everybody thinks we're so miserable over at the Beverly Connection. Guess what? We have a seat plantation and an all ball pain. And yeah. A man's warehouse, okay? So you guys can all suck a dick over there at your fancy Beverly Center, which has not had one day of being open properly since I've lived here. It's been remodeled every day. Last time I went there, it was like a not scary farm. You know how they put up all the fake walls and stuff for you to walk through mazes?
Yes.
It was like that. And then they're trying to charge you $500 for an outfit. Dick, suck. Suck it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just keep on moving around the stores in there. Every time you go in there, the Apple store is somewhere else completely. And then there's like an Obika mozzarella bar in the middle. And then it's like a sushi bar another day. And then like sometimes there's a movie theater at the Beverly Center. Sometimes there's not. You're like, what is going on? It is fully a thirsty housewife trying to keep whatever she has left on that show. The Beverly Connection.
Yeah, it's Lisa Vanderpump not showing up. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I'm here to see Lisa Vanderpump. And she's like, people are being mean to me. I'm covering all of my storefronts. It's like, what? You got to at least show up. Like, I'm not taking anybody's side here, but I'm here to see you.
I feel like it's more like Jacqueline Larita. Like, it's there. Never was central. Tries to be central. Sort of annoying. You sort of are like, what is up with that? But you sort of have to. Sometimes you just have to go to the Beverly Center, you know, you're like, well, fine, I'm here, you know, all right, I'll listen to
the water is black, but I guess, you know, that's why I have to pay more for it. It's like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know what, actually, it's, so wait, I actually think the Beverly Connection, that might be more like Sheree, you know, frequently kicked off, like she's been kicked off twice. And yet, like, you do secretly love it. Like, you, of all, of like,
secretly,
the Grove and Beverly Center.
That's the
only
place I go. I love that place.
I love the connection.
I'm completely offended that you're throwing it under the bus.
No, that's why I'm giving it Sheree. I've elevated it. I've elevated it from Eden Sassoon to Sheree. I mean, Eden Sassoon, I don't even know what the Eden Sassoon of LA. It's probably like that mall, that weird mall that's in Burbank.
I don't understand Burbank, so.
See, exactly. Eden Sassoon. She's like, I'm a mall, too, in Burbank.
She's a food court.
Yeah.
She's a burrito truck downtown.
And then you have, like,
just drunk, and you're like, oh, my God, I never noticed this thing. But it is, you know, crying for no reason in the middle of the night after a party.
And then you have the Century City Mall, which is basically the Erica Jane of malls out here. Because it's basically, it's like, oh, like, look, I'm going to, just give me an Eataly. And now I'm the cool one. Oh, look, like she's like buying, like the Century City Mall is trying to buy its way into our like love, like into our hearts, like that the Grove is clearly the supreme. But like Erica Jane comes along, is like, well, I got an Eataly. I got little dots on the parking lots, so you can see where to park. I don't give a fuck. You know?
I do not want to eat at Erica Jane.
Erica Jane, it's like, and the thing is, people love, everyone's like, have you been to the Century City Mall lately? It's so awesome.
Like it's, that's just like going through the motions. I'm all bitchy about it.
Yeah, but it's like, that's what people are like, oh my God, that new cat, that Erica Jane, I love her. Like, that is what, that's what the Century City Mall is like now. It's like, yeah, no, I like the Century City Mall, but I never, like, I always leave feeling like I was just like a little too far away, like not, it's too distant.
All right. Well, I'm sick of talking about malls.
Yeah, let's talk about Dallas.
Let's go to talk about Dallas. I'm done with malls. It just made me realize how, like, inside I am at all times. I was like, what are these malls? I was like, should I open maps.google.com or should I just say I'm sick of malls and move on? I was like, where's Century City? Where are all these places? Why is my mall called Amazon? Okay.
I was about to move on to the Americana, too. So it's a good thing that we just stopped.
Oh, God, that's a big one.
that's like the NeNe Leakes of malls or something.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't build a wall. We should build a mall. It's like the Americana.
No, that's a great idea.
As you come in on the border.
That's a great idea. I think that's a great platform.
There you go, everybody. Build a wall. I mean, build a mall.
Build a
bear. Mara. Make America Ronnie again, everybody.
Make America a mall again.
You're not coming into this country until you've had a hot dog on a stick, damn it.
I like it. I like it. That's a great litmus test. So Real Housewives of Dallas, another amazing episode. Love this. This show is just so good. It is so good. The fact that they're just like fighting about alcoholism, like blatant alcoholism. It's great. In terms of like that they're saying alcoholism. That's what I think is hilarious.
And they just can't help themselves, you know, because everybody on these shows is obviously fake and trying to get their stupid storyline through at every moment, especially Carrie and Mark.
Yeah.
But their whole, like, we're so happy and we never fight at all. Look at our happy family every time they start. But it opens with Carrie pointing scissors right at her daughter's face. I was like, if that kid moves, she's going to lose her eyes. You know that, right?
Yeah, and they had a very symbolic moment. They were emptying bags of filler into a basket. I was like, well, if this doesn't represent their marriage, I don't know what does.
So and they're sending people fish smells to try and make them believe that Mark hasn't been spending all his time at the Roundup. I mean...
Yeah, Carrie is on a quest to reconnect with her ancestry in Denmark. And so she is making little baskets to invite the women to Copenhagen. And so she's putting in some classic Danish elements. For instance, she's putting in a Danish, very on the nose.
Literal Danish.
She's putting in a Danish beer. I forget what it was called, Carlsberg or whatever. I've seen that beer before. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Danish beer.
It's probably called Danish.
Very on the nose.
Danish ale. And then she's also sending pickled herring, which is a bold move because I'm pretty sure that needs to be refrigerated. and she's like, who doesn't like pickled herring in the mail? And I feel like most people would not like that. I personally love pickled herring. So to me, this was really winning me over.
It's gross. Okay.
It's delicious.
It's disgusting. So she's saying, Mark is trying to, flirt with her. And so he does it, you know, in the best Mark way ever. He's like, you don't even know Danish. How are you going to speak it? Did you look it up on Google Translate? I mean, really? Have fun in Denmark, idiot!
Yeah, she's like, flurge, 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 which means, I believe, flower, 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 flower.
Yeah, she's like, you've done that, dude. That means my husband bought me a new closet to make me stand for him next time somebody says he's giving blowjobs to the K-parcel.
So
next up, Stephanie getting her hair done in the kitchen. As one does.
Yes, because you know, why not?
Yeah, we give people a lot of shit for sitting on counters. Why don't we ever give Stephanie shit? She's always doing crazy stuff in her kitchen.
I think she's giggling so much, we're like enamored by her.
Yeah, because we love her.
Yeah, she's getting her hair and makeup done for no apparent reason. She's just getting it done because like literally nothing else to do. Which proves that she really can't be alone. She's like, Travis goes off to work. She's like, I have to call people over because it's so scary being alone. I call the gays.
So her husband is planning their 10-year vow renewal thing because he's a controlling dude. And then ding dong, all the ladies start getting their invite baskets.
By the way, what do you think, like, at this point in the show, I was starting to imagine, what would Travis's ideal wedding vow renewal look like? I was imagining, like, hoops of fire and, like, that guitarist from Mad Max that was dangling off of a tank. I feel like that would be there, too, you know?
Really? Because all I see in my brain when I think about that is a gigantic post-nup for her to sign. It's like, here are your vows. I, Stephanie... will not ask for a single dime when I find out my husband's been cheating on me this whole time and leaves me. Because this is a vow renewal on Bravo, so nothing good is going to come of this.
I feel like when you do a vow renewal on Bravo, at the end of it, you should like stand by like a little bell with a gavel, like as if you're at the stock market, and you should bang it, and then a countdown clock begins.
She's like, we're trying to rally.
All right. Looks like we have, let's see what the numbers. Oh, 423 days left of the marriage. Great.
It's a Shrek market. So they all start getting their baskets, and Cam's even has a pink bow, which, you know, we talk about controlling people on these shows. Man, talk about an abuser. I mean, when you're sending out gift baskets and you have to buy a hot pink bow just to make one lady happy.
Yeah.
That's an abuser right there. Okay, I'm calling it out now.
Well, we all have that lady friend in our life who you're just finally like, you just have to give in to her demands.
Yeah.
We know them. We know them.
Well, I've got tons of them because I'm gay and single. So that's like my whole circle. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like they have like, access to my iCal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, Cam gets her. She's like, oh, my gosh. How fun. Girl.
And Dandra's reaction. A present. Somebody likes me, mother. I don't believe this. Have this tested. Have this tested for bombs, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Dee's probably like, I don't know about that, Deandra. If that's a present, I don't know if you really have friends. That may be from Amelia. It might be a prank. It's a prank, Deandra. Go and open it. See what happens. I think something's going to jump out at you. Maybe it's that quote-unquote snow algae you keep talking about.
Is this basket just pretending to be my friend and then it's going to totally screw me over the second it gets a chance, mother?
I don't give a rip if you get a present.
And then Cameron opens hers and she's like, fish, gross.
Lotus, you should come back. You're going to like that. Choose your snacks carefully, Lotus. Because Lotus is her cat. I like that her pets, she has one named Lotus and one named Chunk. It's like a sort of a disparity in like quality of names.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of Lotus flowers because I'm stressed out that you're not a dog. And dog, you're just fat.
She's just going to fat shame her dog.
Yeah. See, I told you, she's an abuser.
Yeah. Everyone's getting their herring. So Rich is opening his up and Leanne's up and he's like spilling it everywhere. Leanne's like, oh. And then Brandy's like, it smells like dirty twat. And I've smelled some dirty twats in a kick line. However she does her laugh.
Leave it up to Brandy to bring it to dirty twats. Then Carrie's like, maybe they don't get this, so I'm just going to FaceTime them all to make sure that they got them and they understand what I'm saying. Because really, what do you say? You know, what are you saying? So she FaceTimes Cam, and she's like, did you understand my card? She's like, no. She goes,
choose your words carefully.
She goes, it says join me in Danish. And she goes, no wonder I couldn't read it.
I was wondering why you were scratching out all those zeros. Girl, I was like, girl, why do you keep regretting writing those O's there?
Cam just sat there staring at the card like, why can't I read this?
I've been trying so hard, the secret code. Dumb blondes, read Danish. Smart blondes, read everything.
And then Stephanie is pretty typical Stephanie, too, when she gets her call. She's like, where's Copenhagen?
Is that where I can learn how to cope with being alone?
It's in Denmark. She's like, you're not helping. Like, is that a place? Is it a pizza place? Is it a restaurant? Do I have to dress up?
Is that a fast casual restaurant? Denmark? Is that related to Pathmark?
Is Mark in the den? Just tell me now. Like, it doesn't have to be a huge party.
Is Mark at a den? Oh, you're letting me to that den moment.
Like, Mark has finally left his private man cave or whatever.
It's Denmark. So then Leanne goes to a bridal suite with her friend Kim. And to look at her wedding dresses, which she's been talking about for a little while now. So she's doing that. And Stephanie shows up. And Stephanie is still feeling a little bruised that Brandy thinks Leanne would only be friends with Stephanie because Leanne's trying to get back at Brandy. And Leanne is not friends with Stephanie based on Stephanie's own merit. So Stephanie is feeling a little like anti, more like, you know.
Yeah, she's only one part of the and not part of the.
Betty
and Wilma, like, they have to die at the same time because otherwise their laugh is just not going to make sense.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just have one like laugh like that in a movie theater. It has to be two.
it's like the Roger Rabbit thing. It's like you can't go and then not finish it, you know.
Yeah, you'll go crazy, your head will pop off.
So Leanne says what she wants in a wedding dress. She just wants, I want clean and basic and boring. And then we see her and so many elaborate over-the-top wedding dresses that are like all inspired by like Katarina Witt's costumes in 1988 or something like that. It's like all figure skating with the trains.
Yeah, well, first she did start simple, but then it was like, look at me in a simple up and up. And then it would come back and she's like, look, now it has a collar. Look, now it has a train. Look, now it has a white tiger behind it. I'm like, wait a second. You're just trying to sell your Transformer dress as a wedding dress. Okay.
Now I got a cape. Look, yeah. Now the cape's a bonnet. Now guess what? It's half bonnet, half cape. How about that?
Now it's a pilot costume. Now it's a water filter.
Now I'm Deadpool.
So she ends up liking a dress that looks like Deandra's dress. I don't know if anybody noticed. But yeah, if yeah. she ends up having like a headpiece that's bejeweled, like a skull cap thing that's bejeweled.
Yeah. If it looks like you're about to go on an adventure in Egypt with an archaeologist, then you have to really think twice. In the 1940s.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Leanne's like, cheers to only happy things being around the wedding. You know, happy things like goat blood, intestines, cotton candy, but cotton candy that's given to you by a guy who's actually a skeleton, so it's real scary cotton candy.
It's like, I just want to think about positive wedding things. Eating babies. Setting Stand fire to Deandra. Carnivals that didn't move you up from the apple bobbing contest.
Getting burned alive so I can haunt children's dreams. So Leanne does tell Stephanie, she's like, you know, just so you know, like, I know you feel all special because you're the only one on the TV show that's been invited to see me try on figure skating outfits that you can get married in. But guess what? I also invited Deandra, and Deandra said she's not going to come, you know. So Stephanie is like, well, I mean, I just think that you guys need to talk, which is what everyone's been saying for the past 8 episodes, because she does have a good point, which is that they are best friends. And they're having a fight. And she doesn't want Leanne to not invite Deandra to the wedding. And then a few months later, they wind up in a good place. And then she has regrets. That happened to me, honestly, on my bar mitzvah. I did not invite someone who was my friend because I wasn't mad at him. And then we became friends again. And I felt bad that I didn't invite him to my bar mitzvah. So don't do it,
really?
Leanne.
Because I got totally mean girled at a bat mitzvah by all my girlfriends. And they totally all stopped talking to me at the table. But I didn't know why. And it's still traumatized. It's because one of their mothers told them I was gay. And I didn't even know what that meant at that time. Well, I mean, I knew what it meant, but I didn't know that it was me.
That is.
You know? And so none of them would speak to me because I was gay. And then I had to, like, figure it out. And, like, find the gossipy girl. Like, I have a bat mitzvah trauma, okay? I don't even want to know
serious.
About that. It was serious. And fuck those girls, okay?
Yeah, fuck that. Hey, wait. How about fuck that mom who's told those girls that you're gay?
Yeah. Fuck you. Lady who Dee I hope
Simmons.
Is still alive so I don't feel terrible later about saying that. So yeah, anyway, traumas aside, Stephanie's like, maybe you should just talk. Now, I don't agree with you. I don't think they should just talk because we see what happens when they just talk. These two can't just talk, okay?
Yeah.
Like, they try to talk, but then it's like your husband's cheating on you. Then they try and talk again, and now Deandra's an alcoholic. Just don't talk. Your lives get worse every time you talk.
No, I'm not saying – I'm just saying they have to figure – they do have to fix it. That's what I'm saying. The talking is not working. They are not good at talking. I agree 100%. But I would feel bad if they were in a fight because I still want them to be best friends. I like them as best friends, and I would feel bad if Leanne does not invite Deandra to her wedding, and then they do patch things up, and then it's like now Deandra's missed out on this thing that you know Leanne was super excited about.
Yeah, it's like the first Transformer to human wedding. You know.
Yeah.
You have to be there if you get the chance.
Yeah, I guess.
So Stephanie's like, well, I'm proud of you because you made it. Like, even when you have conflict, you stay calm. And she's like, meditation worked. Don't!
Look.
It's fake.
See, meditation does work. Look, see Kim over here? I'm only lightly strangling her right now as we speak. Only lightly.
I only want things that are positive, happy, normal, handless, and donkey near me when I'm in my dress.
Meanwhile, Marie somewhere like peers out from behind a rock. She's like, it's safe? It's safe? No, it ain't, Marie! Slices her head off. Fooled her, finally. Gotta play the long game.
I'm still allowed to murder Marie, right?
Yeah. Meditation does not apply to Marie.
So Deandra goes into the office, and you know she's nervous because she doesn't even try and top her mother's hellos to the office ladies. She's just like, yeah. Hey, ladies. I was like, whoa, talk about low effort.
Where's mom? Where's mom? Mom? So she finds Dee. Dee is doing she's rocking a navy blazer with red piping, which felt very like marching band assassin to me.
Yes. It was very Music Man, you know, marching band captain, but it's Dee. She's like, I am screwing over your tan. What are you going to do about that? Okay. Yeah. Do I look like I just fell off a turnip truck? Now, pick up that goddamn tuba and play like your life depends on it. Because it
Monorail.
Does, honey.
Monorail.
It
does. Monorail. Monorail. So she goes, Dee's like, so how's your day been? Filled with the customary jealousy of your mother, I bet, huh?
So how you doing, my little green-eyed monster? And Deandra's like, well, the contract update, mother, is it ready?
She's like, ready. Once you've signed it, you take the company and Janet eats your soul for lunch.
Okay. Well, this is great. Good to see you. Get out of my office.
She's like, told Amelia. Now listen, the contract won't be ready until Amelia finds a new job, because I told her once you sign that dotted line, it is all over for a hard night. Good morning. Am I right, everyone? High five, high five. Oh, it's just you, Deandra, sorry.
So Deandra's like, well, I'm not ready to leave your office, mother, because cooking day became a mess with Cameron or with Jimmy and Cameron. Okay, it was a mess, mother.
Okay, you're trying to prove that you're, like, super into this company and being responsible. Why you gotta gossip about your girlfriends every time
exactly.
you come into the office?
And Dee starts scratching that part of her your face. You know, that's like, she starts scratching the part, like, above her lip, below her nose, like, huh, I think I'm going to activate super Dee powers by pressing my little button right in here. That's what I'm going to do.
There's something under there, I'm telling you, because that's what she rubs with her tongue all the time on her gums. Like, when she's trying to, it's like her get off the lipstick move, where she's like,
Yeah, it's almost like there's like a thimble that got stuck under the skin, like while she was doing like adding her latest face, you know?
Right, like she's trying to tie a cherry with her cherry stem with her tongue. She's like,
So Dee starts telling Deandra what Leanne had said to her, that Leanne had said that she was worried that Deandra was an alcoholic, and Deandra's like, well, mother, that is just Leanne's ploy. Okay. She's saying that because she knows she is going to get you to be like, oh my God, Deandra is in trouble and she's going to become an alcoholic and she's going to commit suicide just like her father. And I was like, this show is, I love how like dark this show can get like in an instant.
Yeah. She keeps jumping to the suicide thing. It's like, yeah, it gets really dark. So then Deanne tells us, well, I've thought about this, and Leanne is wrong. Deandra is not an alcoholic, so I'll stand up for my daughter. And I'm like, well, thank God she's not, because I would hate for you to not stand for your daughter. I mean, that is, could you imagine Mama Dee taking you to rehab and be like, that's it, Deandra. That's it, I'm leaving.
She would. She would do a good intervention. I think she was. I think she's the only person who would go on intervention and just spend the entire time laughing, just watching people getting intervened on. That was good. Read that letter again. Make her cry. Make her cry. That was real good. I don't give a rip if you're in rehab or not. I just want to see those tears come down your cheeks.
Mm-hmm. She's like, well, she's not my friend anymore, mother. She is loyal to Cameron now. And Deanne says, well, let him go off and be loyal together.
Yeah.
So back over at Cam's house, Cam is in short shorts. She's in like short strawberry shortcake shorts.
Yeah.
And she's like trying to cut an apple. And this is the longest opening scene of her just trying to cut an apple. And finally she just starts laughing. Like, why would I choose to do this for my opening business?
Yeah, even she's laughing at herself because she has one of those apple core things. So it like, it's really, all the hard work has been done for her. All she has to do is just press down. You put it on the apple and she gets it halfway through the apple and she's like, this is hard. And then she's trying to get it out. And one thing she's learns very quickly is that once you start the core process with those devices, you can't stop. You cannot back up. Okay. You are going. Okay. And she is now, she's trying, she like somehow managed to pull it out. And then she takes like a bread knife and cuts it. Like, I don't know what she's doing. And she doesn't know either. And she really is like, I can't believe I guessed it on Top Chef. And now this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, she's like, is this Danish?
I don't understand it. It must be Danish.
Yeah. I was wondering why I couldn't cut it.
So Leanne comes over.
Twinsies, Jinxies,
Twinsies.
Okay, Cokesies. Leanne comes over and she's like, you look great. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is a poison scene. These two are going to be toxic, poisonous, horrible monsters. Whenever Leanne starts talking like that, like over animated, where her she makes her eyes open really big and everything, she goes, oh, and opens her mouth really big, like she's an extra in Oklahoma, you know, like standing in the back, like, whoa, musical theater extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know she's going to be bringing a lot to the scene.
Yeah, she's like, do you ever look disheveled? She's like, girl, this makeup right now, it's been on since 6 a.m. and it's starting to come off. But here's the question for you. Was it 6 a.m. Dallas time or 6 a.m. Denmark time?
Snooby dooby dump dump. I don't know what that means either. So Leanne's like, oh, I see this chalkboard by the front door. It says, take off your shoes. Do I have to take off my shoes? She's like, no, that's just for the workers.
I don't want them to distribute dirt all over my floors.
This isn't the Global Dirt Expo.
They track in so much dirt, I like don't even have time to chew any bubble gums, okay?
She's like, would you like a drink? She's like, no, I'm not drinking right now. She's like, well, how about some rose water?
I actually have rose water, and I didn't even have to get it off of Net-A-Porter.
So they do the 24 thing where they like start throwing different shots up on the screen.
Yes, I noticed this also.
But they don't change scenes. Like it's like this big action shot, but they're like, look, it's them drinking water. Look, it's them drinking water from a different angle. Look, now they're sitting on patio furniture.
Yeah, they literally split the screen up into four quadrants to watch these two women transition from the kitchen island to the couch. It was like, bum, 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 bum. I was like, wait, we're not seeing anything else happening. It's literally just them having. I mean, listen, I would be in a state of distress also if I had a giant glass of rose water, because that shit is strong. I don't think you're supposed
it's
to drink
disgusting.
It.
Disgusting. Like, and that was really pink water, by the way. That was very, very rosy.
That's like, I think rose water is like an ingredient that you add in sparingly into recipes. You don't sit there and drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
I was like, this is so vile. It is so, it's because it's so strong. Oh, ugh.
Yeah. And so I'm glad they set this up to be a big, huge scene, because it does end up being a big, huge scene, because they just keep repeating each other's words and it becomes one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah,
she's like,
it's great.
I went dress shopping with Stephanie. She's like, oh, Stephanie, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and so Leanne, sorry, I keep on like making these like little burps. You ever have that happen and you're just like trying to say a word and it's like you just cut off my syllable? So Leanne starts reading Deandra's text, because Deandra was invited too, and then she texted Leanne and was like, I'm busy. So this is what the text said. It said, I have a full day already and I can't change my schedule. Lots to do before tomorrow. I'm sure Stephanie will be a great person to be there and advise on styles and et cetera, since she has such great taste. And
yeah, but the way Leanne says it, okay, that's how it says. That's how Deandra wrote it. But Leanne says it like this. I have a full day already and I can't change my schedule. I'm sure Steph will be good because she's got style. Ugh. Like, that's not how the text was written.
It was very straightforward. I mean, admittedly, Deandra could have said something like, I'm so sorry, I wish I could be there, I know this is important, and even though we're going through our shit, like, this is like more important than anything else, or like, you know, I've been waiting for this moment and you're gonna look beautiful. So it was pretty cold for sure.
But
Leanne definitely
made
it sound like
she told her until I think she didn't invite her. Well, I saw on Twitter, Deandra was like, she didn't invite me to go bed and rest until 9:30 the night before. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a businesswoman. Have you heard of miracles? Have you heard of green miracles? Take a shot of one, soft patches. Thank you, Twitter. So Leanne didn't invite her till the last minute, and you can tell reading this text because she says, "I have way too much to do before tomorrow," which is their charity event. So yeah. You know, you have to like plan
it. And she's probably mad because at the same time, I still would be flowery and be like, "I'm so sorry I couldn't make it." But then Deandra's probably pissed because she knows she's like, "Well, she's gonna invite me the last second. I'm not gonna be able to go, and then she's gonna make me look like the bitch," which is exactly what Leanne's doing, which is why she's the queen, yes. By the way. That's why, because Leanne knows how to play these games.
So now Leanne has like read this in the crazy tone, so she's getting Cameron all riled up. So yeah. Now Cameron's like super mad, and she's like,
her ear is touching her shoulder at this point. She's so mad.
She's like, her best friend is getting married. Too busy? I'm sorry. Who is too busy to go to a wedding dress fitting? And Lee goes, who is this person?
That's not someone we know. Not who we know. No, I don't know who it is. Who texted me? Is this spam? Spam. That's fattening. It is fattening. This is a fat text.
Fat. You know what this is? There's something going on, girl.
It's psycho.
Psycho, that's what it is. And people call me psycho.
I would put down that phone. It's going to stab you in the shower. It's so psycho. Have you seen that phone's mother? You should make sure the phone's mother still works.
Other thing that offends me too is her name. Her last name is Simmons. Wait.
Before we get into that whole thing, that whole debacle, I do want to back up and say, when Cameron says, "Who's too busy to go to a wedding dress fitting?" That is like the most hilarious thing to say. I'll tell you who's too busy. Anyone who works, get a job. I mean, it's like. Like I actually think that like everyone is too busy to go to a wedding dress fitting. I actually feel like 95% of the world would not want to go to someone else's wedding dress fitting. Like there are some of those like totally selfless people who like rather than look at their own issues would like to project themselves onto someone else. So they're like, yes, I will go. But I think that the rest of us are like, oh, now I gotta sit and watch you in another dress and another dress. Like, give me the free champagne.
Yeah. That's one of those girls' rights things that you have. It's like the right of friendship, you know?
Yeah.
Like people do it for you, even if you don't want to be there, and then you do it for them. And then at some point, you're sitting around with a glass of $2 champagne in your hand, and you're like, why the fuck do we do this?
Yeah. You know? It's like wedding showers, any baby showers, wedding showers, any of the showers, no one likes. Literally, no one likes them. So why do we do it? Why do we do it?
I don't know. Okay. That opens up a whole other can of worms. Okay. So yeah. She's like, she's the Simmons, and the Simmons family has done a lot for our town. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, do they build it? She released the Green Miracle. Like, it's like, before the Green Miracle, Dallas was just a bunch of huts and dead trees. And then the Green Miracle came, and now we have Green Miracle Town.
Don't run around embarrassing people with that last name.
You know, there's an entire line of mattresses with that name, and that's not fair for you to ruin them.
Would Mrs. Seeley do this? I don't think so.
Would Joan Casper do this? I don't think so.
Would Mr. Firm put up with this if his wife was doing it? Doubtful.
Would Janet sit? Or Peter Sleep do this? I don't think so.
What about Auntie Number?
Have you spoken to Marie Craftmatic? She would never do this.
So Leanne is now getting fired up because of Cameron. She's like, you are right, yes! She has a responsibility! Yes, a responsibility. Yes, a responsibility. Like, okay, you are turning into the Music Man.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got trouble. Really big trouble. Right here in Simmons City. Right here in Simmons City. It's the M to the A to the T to the T to the R to the E to the S to the S.
Leave the last S off for savings, though, please.
You're killing me, Larry.
She is certifiably insane. Emphasis on the certa.
It's time for a commercial.
Fall on me. Ascoltami. Fall on me. Abbracciami. Fall on me with all your light.
Andrea Bocelli, See, the new album, out now.
Listen to the award-winning Women in Business podcast from NatWest, a series presented by June Sarpong. Discussing the highs and lows, she's joined by budding entrepreneurs alongside NatWest's Women in Business specialists. Plus tips from leading businesswomen, including Martha Lane Fox and the British Fashion Council's Caroline Rush. Search NatWest to listen and subscribe, and to find more interviews with industry experts, hosted by Mary Portis.
It's time for a Crappens commercial. Take a nap. So Dandra is still in the office with her mom, and she's like,
"Yeah,
Jimmy and Cameron were talking to me about my conversation, and they said that I'm Simmons and I need to be careful." And Dee goes, oh, let me tell you the one mistake you made, Dandra.
Your hair. Your makeup. No, it's so hard to choose the one mistake you made. Okay, let's
earrings
go with five
aside,
of them.
All right, earrings aside. Let's put those aside. How you should have started that conversation, you should have said, "You know what, Jiminy Cricket and Dodo Bird Sock Puppet over there, this is not the appropriate time. We are having a cooking lesson from
a master, okay? We are learning from a lady who knows the art of ketchup and meat, okay? And you want to talk about this. That's what I would have said, Deandra. That's how you control a conversation, Deandra. You say, look at that lady over there. That lady is a genius. She's not just made the green miracle. She's made the meat miracle, okay?
You should have just taken a Heinz 57 bottle and gone right in their face. That's what you should have done.
You should have said, what are they going to say to me now after I do this to you, Jiminy?
End of sentence, Jiminy Ricket.
Period. Space. New sentence. Fuck you, Jiminy. Exclamation point. Space. Carriage return. The end. All in caps. Period.
Now, Amelia, please get that topped up.
I like that put into needlepoint to put behind me in a frame.
So she's like, you learned a lesson today, Dandra. I have been a Simmons a long time, okay? I tell him, spin it, forget it. Let it go. Just let it go. Let it go.
I wrote that song, you know. I said to Disney, you know what? You got to tell these girls to let it go. And that's I said, I'm going to write a song about an ice princess called Dee Simmons who goes and makes the Blue Miracle in Norway. Well, they changed a little bit, but that's fine.
Blue Miracle. When I became that girl from Frozen, I built you an ice palace, Dandra. A Simmons palace. Then you came in and turned on the microwave. So maybe one day you'll be less of an idiot and you'll be able to keep an ice palace open. Until then, let it go.
Mother, no one likes a product that can turn everything into ice. That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? No one likes that. Here's what people like, okay? They like jars, not pouches. They like jars, and they like being turned into ice by someone who knows how to make a meatloaf, okay?
So then back at Cam's, she's like, oh, well, wait until you hear this girl. She came up to me at that party where there was, like, an army spray painted on a wall, and she said, you're attacking me. Like, she came up on me full throttle, girl.
Yeah, because I went to the bar supporting like a good friend does, okay? And then I was like a good friend does. State Farm is there, right? Yeah.
Lee's like, so, I cannot believe it. Her mouth is on the floor. Like, she just heard that everybody's getting a free penis. It's like on the ground.
The way that Cam and Deandra talk about this interaction the night before is so hilariously self-serving for both of them, because they both are like, she attacked me. And like, all Deandra said was, my feelings were hurt. And honestly, when Cam and Jimmy were talking to Deandra, all she did was really, they were just like, by the way, just so you know, people are talking, so like, you got to think about these things. And she's like, she attacked me at that thing. And then when Cameron was like, that's not fair, Deandra. Deandra's like, she turned into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. She took out a chainsaw and she tried to saw apart that bar. Okay?
She's like Jekyll and David Hyde Pierce, mother. And I'm not going to take that. Okay? I'm no one's Frazier. And she's like, she said Jimmy is the Grand Dam of Dallas. And Dee goes, she is, huh? First time anybody's told me about that. Jimmy.
Yeah, she's a grand damn slut. That's what she is. This is the first time we ever saw Dee really get mad. The moment that someone basically said that Dee was not the grand dame of Dallas, this is what got her. This is what got her.
This is what finally puts her over the meemaw edge. It's like, old Jiminy Thicket, huh? Well, that makes a lot. We'll see about that.
And then I feel like I heard, like, in my mind, I heard, like, deep, brooding synthesizer chords playing, and I just imagine the camera just zooming right into her eyes, and she goes, be mean if you have to be mean. I can be mean. Be mean.
You know what's going to happen if you don't do this and get hard-skinned? They are going to mow you down, Deandra. Don't be a patsy. Stand up for yourself and tell them off. All right, now tell me this. How did the cow eat the cabbage?
I may have missed that one. Well, then it's official. You are not ready to run this company.
With please tell me how the cow. That's how. God damn it, Deandra! I'm trying to stick up for you here.
How can I stick up for you if you don't even know how the cow ate the cabbage? Okay, these are the fundamentals that go into a meatloaf.
I'll tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. He didn't, because you came in, poured ketchup on it, and ate it before he even could get to it.
You put that cabbage into a pouch, okay? No wonder why the cow couldn't eat it. It only eats out of jars.
So then back at the other house, Deandra's like, well, I'm not a mean girl, mother. You know, they're the mean girls, and I don't want to get disrespectful.
She's like, oh, well, I'm not respectful, I'll tell you that. And when they mess with my daughter, I get unrespectful.
U-N-R-E-S-P-C-T, find out what it means to me. U-N-R-E-S-P-C-T, find out the D. Simmons way. Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, cow, eating cabbage, 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 cabbage.
When I get mad, the first person to suffer is that goddamn Merriam-Webster bitch.
Like when she destroys English whenever she gets mad.
Yeah.
Webster. So back at Cam's, Leanne's like, I don't even want to go to Copenhagen with her. Oh, and I have to host a stupid pajama party with her. I want to call in sick, like,
Yeah, because basically before they had their fight, they agreed to do Deandra wanted to do something for Hard Night Good Morning, and Leanne's like, well, I know a gay, so why don't we do it over at his place? So, but Leanne's like, I'll tell you, if she comes for you one more time, Cameron, I am just going to karate chop in her throat. I'm going to karate chop, big old chop in the throat, chop, chop, chop.
I, like, nothing to got, prove like erection. You've changed by punching someone in the throat.
I want to see Leanne karate chop something. I want to see her in the new Karate Kid. I want a reboot of the Karate Kid with Leanne.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
Oh,
wax
on, Mr. Miyagi. He's dead. Sorry.
How many times do I do this to my legs? Wax on, wax off.
Well, you said to chop on board. I said to chop a board. Oh. Sorry, old guy.
I actually can imagine Leanne showing up to a Halloween event dressed as a shower. She's like, look at me, I'm in my shower curtain, no one can find me here, no one knows, I'm just me, just Leanne, don't beat me up, I don't want my head in the locker again.
So she shows up to this Jack Retro party, and Jack Retro himself is there, or Jack, and right. It's a pajama party, so he's dressing in his night clothes, which is a Gloria Swanson turban with a gold brooch on it.
It's hilarious.
And a muumuu. I mean, this, I don't know what's happening in the Dallas gay scene, but I love it. It's second only to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm very excited to learn about the Dallas gay scene, which should be called the Gallus. Clearly we are going to the Roundup when we go in February, and I'm so excited, even though I feel like the Roundup doesn't like us because
they're snobby. I don't want to go to the Roundup.
No, I don't want to, but I feel like I have to because it's the roundup. Like,
they're mean to us.
It's not about me.
They're going to be those kind of line dancer people who are like, "You're not doing it right. You're not taking it seriously. You are being unrespectful, queen."
Yeah, they won't let us geotag the roundup. I can do it with my personal IG account, but I can't do it with the Crappin's IG account. Yeah, and I feel like, why?
So we tried to do a live show there, and then the guy was like, "Well, we'll wait, and we're going to have to give this a listen to see if this fits what we're going for here at our..." I'm like, what? No
oh,
one
I'm
has
sorry.
Ever said, no venue has ever said anything like that, A. And then B, yeah. I followed up an email, and then he just didn't write me back. And I'm like, oh, so we're not good enough for that? You know what? Suck.
I'm sorry we wanted to invite people to your place of business so they'd buy drinks. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, how about square down? We're going
yeah.
there in the van.
We'll go to the square down. Yeah. I'm still going to go to the roundup. I don't fucking care. Listen,
well, now
part
we
of
really
being gay
can't go,
is like
we just like tirated against it. So
it's fine. We'll survive. Maybe we'll build bridges. Listen. We will squash the beef with the roundup as an example for Leanne and Deandra.
I don't think you understand line dancing gay cowboys.
Oh, no, I do. I went to that gay bar in Phoenix where they do that.
And have you been to the one here, Oil Cans? Girl,
oh, hell yes.
They will string you up if you
I've
do
gotten
it wrong.
A lot of nasty looks there when I try to line dance at Oil Can Harry's.
Yeah, we got, like, semi-kicked out of there. I mean, granted, I was with Trisha, so.
Yeah, but at the same time, they, like, line dance to, like, Rihanna. So I'm like, really?
That's true, but they're very serious about it. Okay, so anyway.
They really are.
They're at this Jack retro party. Jack's walking around in a turban like, "Hey, darling, here's your Gucci outfit." And Leanne is getting changed, but she's like afraid to fight with Deandra, you know, because she knows what's coming. So Deandra well, yeah. arrives in...
And by the way, Leanne is still... She is amping up her rhetoric now. She's like, "Well, this stupid event, you know, we decided to co-host before Deandra started stabbing me in the back." I'm like, I don't think Deandra's actually stabbed you in the back. She's
when
just...
she stopped returning my calls.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, so I love how when Deandra shows up, which is, I think, maybe what you were about to say, that after all this talk, like, Deandra's been stabbing me in the back, and Deandra's like, "Leanne's accusing me of being an alcoholic. I am done with her." And then they see each other like, "Ah, how are you?"
So Deandra comes out dressed like Lady Grover. Like, she is like in full-on bluish-purple fur nightgown and stuff. And everybody starts showing up in their PJs, and she's like, "Look at Mother. That is the gold piece from the 70s I was telling you about, Jack. Jack Retro, who's now my friend, not Leanne's, because she's a bully, and I'm going to put her goddamn head in a locker if she doesn't watch it."
Yeah, Dee shows up in like a leopard pajama situation with like a black sheer robe around it. So she kind of just looks like an evil ringleader.
Yeah, she does. So Deandra's like, "I have just transformed Green Miracle." So she's going to say this like 90 million times throughout the night.
Yeah. She's like, "After 24 years, for the first time ever, the Green Miracle is even more miraculous, okay? Because I did it. I did it. Deandra did it. I did it." So, meanwhile, like, you know that, like, Amelia and Dee are in the background, be like, mm-hmm. Like, yes. When they're like, it's like totally the same product.
Yeah. So they say hi to, with more sugar. So they say hi to Brandy and Carrie. Who come in.
Carrie has huge hair.
Yeah, and Brandy's in a onesie, like a bear onesie or something. And she's like, "These are very appropriate to who I am. So take that, society. Take that."
Yeah.
You tell them, Brandy. You tell them. So Dee tells them, "Now listen here, you two girls. What happens when a cow tries to eat the cabbage?" "Deandra eats it first." "That's what I said. Ding, ding, ding. Brandy, you may be an alcoholic, but you're a winner alcoholic, okay?"
Yeah. So, yeah, Dee tells Carrie and Brandy, you know, like, "Take care of Deandra in Denmark, okay? Because if she comes back hurt, everybody's going to wish they were dead." Anyway, who wants meatloaf?
Notice you haven't seen Janet this season. So Dee's like, "She has been horrible, Brandy. Deandra hadn't slept for 2 days. And Brandy talks about how she's just not going to lose sleep over Leanne because what a loser. Meanwhile, she's, you know, like, helped start all this shit. She's, like, yeah. rubbing her evil little bare hands together.
Yeah, exactly. And then Deandra starts passing around green miracle shots to the party, et cetera. And Deandra's like, you know, before it used to taste like green grass. And Leanne's like, but I'm allergic to grass. And Deandra and Dee just give her this death stare, like, how dare you say that you could be allergic to a previous version of our product?
Yeah. She's like, I'm allergic to grass, trees, apples, sand, scramblers,
scrambled eggs,
clowns. You're like, wait a second. Every Clown single fish. One of those things was in your childhood at the carnival, okay? Every single one. Just basically, people, I grew up with a bottle of Coca-Cola in my mouth, okay?
That was my comfort food and comfort drink. I just basically subsist on Coca-Cola. And you know what? Honestly, when my face was in that locker, it wasn't so bad because I had a bottle of Coca-Cola in there, too.
My mother would go through long periods of not talking to me, and then I realized she was a Coke machine.
I took a Coke machine to prom once.
I was like, Mother, why will you only communicate with me when I press your buttons?
Nowadays, I don't even understand Coke machines. All these computerized displays and all these flavorings. It's hard. It's hard. I feel alone. PTSD.
Computer mother.
PCSD.
CTSD.
PC.
Oh.
Post-Coke disorder. Traumatic. I don't know what I'm saying.
So letters. Deandra is being given life by Dee walking around telling everyone how she's going to murder the friends that aren't nice to her daughter. Like, she is so empowered by her mom sticking up for her. It's hilarious. So it's slowly building, right? So Carrie takes Deandra outside, and Carrie really has done all she can do this episode. She's like, I'm doing my fake family trip, so I'm done. How are you? And Deandra's like, I am very disappointed in the other night. Very disappointed. She's like, with Cam? Yes, I'm so very upset. She focuses on the fact that I said Jimmy hurt my feelings, and not that she hurt my feelings. Okay? I've been around women my whole life. I know mean girls, and I'm not gonna do this mean girl thing. I'm gonna kick some. I'm not gonna. And then she starts getting Sherry O'Terry mad again, where she's like, it's like, hold her back. She's like just bumping off the walls, you know.
She's like, you see this baseball? It's mine now. It's mine. I keep it. Basically, the funny thing is that you're so right. She is thriving off the fact that her mom's in there, like, also fully on her side now, talking shit about Leanne and Cameron. And, like, it's nice when your parent sticks up for you, etc. But Deandra also said just last week, like, you know, this is between the girls. Don't drag your mother-in-law into the dogfight. That's, like, not right. And it's like, well, now your mom is in the mix here. So, like, now you see the value in having an older lady in the mix because they are great fighters.
Yeah. And so then she goes, wait. Oh, no.
And by the way, Deandra is essentially having a midlife crisis, right? I mean, that's what this is what it all boils down to. You know, she's had to live by society's standards. She's been judged and judged and judged. And the pressure has been on her, and she's just kind of sick of it because she's probably hearing it more now than ever because of the reality show. She just wants to do one fun thing in her life, and so she's mad as hell. She wants to just, like, you know, it's like when someone goes off to college, and, like, if someone is, like, not popular and they go off to college and then suddenly they're accepted for the first time and then they just abandon all their high school friends because they're like, wait a second, like, this is what life could be like. That's what Deandra is going through, just, you know. So when she's mad at her anger towards Cameron and Jimmy seems so outsized, like so out of proportion for what they really said, that it's really because it triggered this thing that she is just trying so hard to get away from society because she's going through her, like, midlife or super delayed, you know, teenager going off to college like self-identity crisis, right?
Yeah, well, she just came in ready to fight. Like, she's been trying to start fights this entire season. She came in wanting to fight with Leanne, and Leanne did a good job of staying calm this whole time. But, you know, now is, of course, breaking, as we knew she would. But Deandra started it, and Deandra has been starting it with everybody. And when she says they show a clip of Jiminy, you know, Wicket or whatever, saying, like, well, darling, people are going to talk in society. And she's like, that is a threat. That was a threat. Well, yeah, she's saying that if you if you act one way, people are going to react another way. Like, she's not threatening to murder your family, you know? I think Dandra is just, like, in housewives mode where she's ready to cause drama and start shit. And it's just backfiring in her face because she's not waiting for the right... She's not waiting for the right thing, you know?
She probably also thought that she was going to come onto the show and be, like, the superstar. And, like, she came on and everyone loved her. And I still love Dandra. I really do. But, you know, because I get the sense that in real life Dallas that Dandra is like, you know, she is more influential than Leanne. We saw that in season one when Leanne was bragging about going to Deandra's wedding and being like a bridesmaid, you know. So I think she came in and like the fact that the audience really kind of rallied around Leanne starting last season and suddenly started to love Leanne. It probably was like a little hard for her to accept. And so this is sort of like, you know, how it like she's like, well, you know what? I'm going to put Leanne in her place and everyone's going to see that I'm the one in this relationship that really calls the shots. And I think it's just kind of turning into a mess.
Yeah. But also Dallas society, fuck you guys. Okay. It just means you're loaded. It's not like any one of you has some kind of personality where everybody's just clamoring to be around you because of your personality or your looks or anything else. It's because you have the most money and you're in charities because you give money. You're literally charity cases. Okay.
So yeah,
exactly. Get over yourselves. So Jimmy is a grand dame of society because she's fucking loaded.
Yeah. By the way, this has truly, there's no segue to this, but I feel like I have to mention it before I forget because we forgot. We didn't mention it yesterday and we forgot to, but Deborah Winger on Watch What Happens Live. How amazing was that?
So good. Oh my. Well, Deborah Winger is a fucking monster from hell anyway.
Yes.
She always has been. But, and I met, you know who I ended up being more mad at and that was Amanda Peet. Fuck you, Amanda Peet.
I wasn't paying attention to Amanda Peet.
Amanda Peet is just an ass kissy, like, oh my God, did I mention how much I love Deborah Winger? Like, oh, get your head out of Deborah Winger's ass. Amanda
I got the
Peet.
Sense that she felt awkward and nervous, and she was trying to kind of like, in a weird way, smooth things over. And I felt like she was just like, this is so awkward. I don't know what to do with myself. So she just sort of like, just became like a just crazed. But honestly, like Deborah Winger, watching her disdain just grow for Andy was so deeply hilarious. And yes, it was awkward television. And yes, she shouldn't have agreed to come on a show where it was going to be. She knew what she was getting into, I think. But that being said, oh, it was marvelous.
Yeah. So for those of you who didn't see it, she's on a couple of new shows. She's on some Amazon show. I don't know. She's on a couple things. So she's back in the mix. So she comes on and Andy's doing her. The clip we saw was Andy's doing his plead the fifth. I'm going to ask you questions and you can plead the fifth to just one of them. And he's like swiveling in his chair. He's like, this is going to go really well. He's in like his swivel, his happy swivel place.
Yes.
And his first question is, okay, so you wrote in your book about Shirley MacLaine. She's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, you didn't? You know, he gets that like, oh. He's like, what? Yeah. She's like, no, I didn't write about her. She wrote about me. Okay, she wrote about me. And he's like, oh. She goes, get it straight. Like, she's so furious that he hasn't read her entire book or whatever before he did this.
And she's
interview.
Just looking at him, and she even says at one point, like, you know, you look so, like, sweet and lovely, but, and she just sort of trails off, as if to say, like, but you're just, you're a dick. You know, like, she just has, like, she only wants to talk about her craft, and her answers are so pretentious but so hilarious when he's like, who's the better kisser, John Travolta or Richard Gere or a third person? And she's like, well, that was like 40 years ago. So like, do you remember who you kissed 40 years ago? And he's like, well, if I were in like an Oscar winning whatever, then I probably would have. She's like, well, first of all, it wasn't really me kissing them. It was like, I was in a character.
She's such
and so
an
it was
asshole.
Really the like character.
Oh, I hate this.
It
I
was
hate
so
when
obnoxious.
Get like
so
this.
Funny. Ugh.
It's still why I hate Laura Linney. Cause I saw her on Watch What Happens Live. I still hate her because of her actory ass. When people act like, oh, well, it wasn't really Deborah Winger kissing him. It was that character. And that character. So maybe, are you asking that character how she feels? And he's like, oh my God, I'm not going to win here. You know, but but he just keeps swiveling, like he gets more and more nervous in that chair and swiveling.
Yeah, and he starts getting testy, and she's like, you know, because that's like acting. He's like, well, actually, I don't know, because I'm not an actor, so that's why I'm asking you. So he was getting really prissy. And then later on, someone called in and was like, hey, Deborah, I love Urban Cowboy. It's one of my favorite movies, and I thought you were great, and I wanted to know. And while this woman's talking, Deborah Winger's like rolling her eyes and doing this thing with her hand, like, come on, okay, move forward, whatever. This idiot, right? Am I right, everyone?
Looks at her watch. She's like, oh, really? Urban Cowboy, right? I hear this every day. No, you don't, Deborah Winger. Okay? You don't hear this every day. You know she's some chain-smoking, you know, like 5 pots of coffee a day, horrible monster who takes a bath like one time every 5 weeks. And, like, kicks her dog down the street, muttering at herself.
Yeah.
No one is asking you about Urban Cowboys, so get off your fucking high horse and be grateful.
Yeah, exactly. But, man, was that hilarious. And watching how uncomfortable it was, ugh, it was great.
Yeah.
She's
like, all around really good. And then Amanda Peet's like, oh, my God, can I say again just how much? And actually, while we're talking about that show, another thing happened. They had their Real Housewives Awards, which, you know, are crappy, so who cares? But they did that, and then in the after show, apparently, Kelly Dodd told Andy that Ramona said that that she started the Real Housewives.
Yeah, everyone knows I started the Real Housewives. It was originally called the Real Ramonas of Ramona Island.
The Ramonas of Real New York Ramona. So yeah. Andy calls her, and he's like, Ramona, it's Andy. I'm calling because apparently you told Kelly Dodd that you started. She goes, Andy, what I said was a producer guy over there, his name was like, I don't know, like Stupid Fate. I don't know. Whatever his name was. Alan, you know, Monster. I don't know. Whatever his name was. He was, like, huge. He was, like, the head of everything over there. He said, we put it on the map. And Andy's like, you did not start the Housewives. You know that, right? She's like, yeah. Oh, see? Who knows even what that is? Like, Real Housewives of what? That's what that was. Like, nobody even knows what the OC is. Okay, Andy? It's Real Housewives of New York. That's what the boss told me.
Like, it was first. We started in 1999, as everyone knows. It's like, Ramona.
Oh, I mean, just so ridiculous. And he's trying to explain to her. He's like, okay, so what you're saying is OC came out first, but you guys put it on the map. And she goes, no, Real Housewives New York started Housewives. And he's like, no, it didn't.
All right, like, quiet down, Kanye West. Kanye singer.
I mean, so ridiculous. And wonderful. Okay, so that's all the Watch What Happens coverage.
Yes.
That you didn't.
Sorry,
know you
I just had to. I was like, if I don't say it now, I'm gonna forget, and it has to be discussed.
Mm.
So okay, so back to this party, the Jack Retro party. So Deandra's out there with Carrie, and she's like, "You've awakened the dragon, and the dragon's not nice." And let me ask you a question, Carrie: how does a dragon eat cabbage? Okay, how does a dragon eat cabbage?
You eat it first.
Damn it! Have you been talking to Mother?
I really walked into that one, didn't I?
She goes, you do not want to mess with the dragon. And Carrie goes, I know. You can be a real bitch. She's not even kidding.
Yeah.
And Deandra's like, well, this is not going to happen on my clock. And she's like getting herself, like literally bouncing off of walls right now. And Carrie's like, I just want to like see white people in Copenhagen and pretend to know them because I have literally nothing else to do. So can we just focus on that? She's like, well, I've had my gut full of it. And if it happens again, I'm going to mow their asses down if that is it. Well, I mean, not in Denmark, because I want to celebrate your heritage. Okay. We're going there for Carrie to support Carrie.
And also I'm really hoping to run into Caroline Fleming, who, side note, Ronnie, she's in LA right now. BT dubs. I'm hoping that we run into her also. So Leanne, so now we see Leanne and Dee, and she is, they're both talking, and Leanne's like, I love Deandra. And Dee's like, and she loves you. And she's hurting me with the things she says, and you're hurting her by the things that you say. Now listen, okay, I have been a Siemens a long time. I've just been a lady a long time. I've had this square hair since 1933. Okay, you know what? And I have seen a lot of things. I know about a lot of relationships.
Hi, and let me tell you, what's going on, Leanne? And Leanne just turns her back right to Dee.
Yeah, and Dee just like, Dee just turns into like a marionette that's out of control. Her hands just go up and like, and then her body just like falls forward and she's just
I
like,
no, she did not just steal my scene. Okay.
Well, I'm just going to go talk to Jack Retro instead.
Leanne is like, listen, I already gave your daughter a spot on this show on my back. Don't think you're about to get one too, bitch. I loved that. She just turned right away from her. And yeah. Kara's like, something's not right. I know. I was going to talk to you about that. Your eye won't start crying. What is that? No, I met with Deandra. She's like, well, I heard about Deandra attacking Cameron. And I'm telling you, I'm nervous about Copenhagen. I'll bring some alcohol. So, yeah, that's what we need.
And Kara goes, great. I think we just need to drink our way through it. I'm like, you really should think about these things before you make other accusations, right?
Yeah, well, that's just the thing. They're always drinking all the time. And even... Oh, well, I guess this part's later. So Brandy and Carrie are talking to Deandra. And who's
Joyce,
Rano?
Oh, their Brandy. Silent friend.
Yeah. Oh, I put Rando. That's what I meant to put.
It's Joyce. How rude to Joyce.
Oh, sorry, Joyce. So Brandy's like, how are you?
You know me. She knows me. You don't really know me, random person. But here's what it is. I say what I feel, and my gut is full. My gut is full. There.
Of cabbage.
Saying, okay? She told my mother I am an alcoholic. And Dee goes, oh. So Dee just like pops up out of nowhere. By the way, it's like a poof of smoke and Dee's there.
Well, she's literally dressed like a Jack in the Box. So she just like pops up like do. She's like, oh, and guess what, Brandy? You're an alcoholic too. And Brandy for moments like, and she's like, oh, apparently you didn't know that? You didn't know that? Leanne told me that.
Yeah, apparently you just get together and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. She's like,
that allegation could affect my life forever because my baby adoption isn't finalized yet. I'm like, okay, but you're also like drinking a huge martini.
So Mama D is like, You know what? I wish I could go over to Sweden and be the referee between these ladies because it is going to be a brawl. I want to go to Sweden. I'm going to walk around and be like, Sweden, Sweden, Sweden. I'm going to be the referee. And they're like, no. Except it's,
yeah.
It's Denmark. It's like, oh, well, I guess so much for my IKEA trip. Fan.
So inside, more green shots and Deandra and Brandy are talking. And Deandra's like, thanks for having my back. She's like,
I'm so proud of you for standing up and owning your truth and doing what you want. You know, like dropping K cups out of your butt, which is totally something you would have done without me, you know, sitting there egging you on about it. She's like, I'm 49. Get the chains off of me, mother.
Yeah. Green miracle shots that are reformulated for all. Okay, everyone. Because guess what? I am a dragon, but I am a green dragon. Okay, I'm the miracle dragon. Deandra, the magic dragon, sits by the L22.
Well, I'm always here to support someone's misery.
So they hug, and then Brandy, before she leaves, she's like, well, anyway, this alcoholic's gotta go. And downs like a humongous martini. I'm like, yeah. Way to squash those rumors, guys.
So then we go over to Stephanie's house for its vow renewal day. She's getting glammed up and everything. Brandy shows up. She won't be able to stay for the ceremony because she has a previous engagement. And then Carrie shows up and Carrie's like, she's like fully just going to vomit all over this renewal.
Like, but I would dig myself out of a grave to be here, girl. Randy's like, whoops.
I tried to run my face under my pasta arm in the kitchen for 5 minutes straight, but I still feel like shit.
So Brandy is like, I'm so happy for you. So let me tell you about all the gossip about the people I hate and that you're now befriending and betraying me before I leave you at your wedding vow renewal ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells her everything. And Carrie's like, well, I would actually say that she's right because this wasn't that boutique thing. Like in one breath, she acted like, you know, they're just drinking a lot. But then in another breath, she literally said alcoholic. And then like, in another breath, like, did anybody eat their jarred fish? Anybody? Like, was that a total
waste another breath,
of money?
There's, like, a lot of discussion about cabbage all of a sudden, and I don't really understand why that is, but I sent herring, not cabbage, so...
Do cows eat cabbage? Like, I don't even know where that came from.
I don't know why I'm saying that now. Is that a thing?
So now they're like, what? Stephanie's like, oh, but she said she didn't say alcohol. Like, reverse her. And Brandy's like, she is proving every reason I won't have a relationship with her. All I do is try and try. I'm like, okay. So, whatever.
Steph basically decides that she's going to confront Leanne about her saying alcoholic when she said she didn't say alcoholic, and she's going to confront her in Denmark. Uh-huh. So that's something we have to look forward to.
Yeah. And then basically a lot of this is just Stephanie getting ready, right, for her wedding.
Yeah, it's all just like, it's just fine. It's, you know, she's a little disappointed that Brandy has to leave early. Her original maid of honor shows up. She's like, tear. Like, cry, cry. And then she's just happy and she's crying and their vows. My favorite, Travis's brother Joey was there, his debut on the show. He got like a cameo appearance. I was like, pitter pat. And basically, Travis gives her a new ring. He's like, did your fingers get bad or something? I can't fit this ring on your fingers. She's like, yomi butt
that
sex.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I hope you don't make a butt. Yomi butt sex. Damn it.
And her mom was like, what? What is that? How can you have sex with a conjunctive? I don't get that. Butt sex.
Are people having and sex now too? Oh, so confusing. These
Are
kids.
People having yet sex? Yet sex? Conjunctions.
So Carrie, now we go to packing and basically leaving to go to Copenhagen. And Travis is like, yeah, I've been to Copenhagen a bunch of times. I dated a girl who lived right by there. And Stephanie's like, wow, this is great. Thank you for that nice shot of insecurity right when I was starting to feel better about our marriage. Okay.
She like glances at the countdown timer. She's like, oh gosh, I hope. I'm getting a little concerned that might be a little accurate. So Leanne's in her closet asking Carly the dog for fashion advice. I really do enjoy Carly. Like, Carly really amuses me. And Cam is talking to Chunk. Cam pulls out like this rack of clothing. She pulls it out of her closet, and Court's just sitting there like, is that your entire closet? And she's like, ew, Court. No, this is just part of it. Gosh, Court. Gosh.
And then Dandra's like, I am not in a good place, Jeremy, with Leanne. And he's like, what's wrong with Cameron now? I don't even understand this stuff. This is woman stuff, okay? Y'all, why don't y'all just go off on a girly trip where girls go and just have your periods together, okay?
Yeah, exactly. He's doing that typical guy thing. And then Court's also doing his own version of it. He's like, are you going to Mars or are you going to Copenhagen? Get it? Because your clothing is crazy. Like, why aren't you wearing gingham and khakis? Like, I don't get it. Crazy women, right? She's like, look at my clutch. It says J'adore in it. Get it? Because it's Dior. And I walked it through a door. And I got a Net-a-Porter. Get it?
He's like, please leave. Please just
throwing himself down the staircase.
So they go to the airport, and everyone's upgrading themselves to first class, except for Leanne and Deandra. Because Deandra doesn't want to piss off Mama D right when she took over the company. And Leanne tries to get fancy because she hears everybody else does it. So she goes up to the first desk counter, and she's like, I'd like to upgrade. What's that going to cost? And they're like, $1,200. And then she looks at the camera kind of embarrassed, and she's like, I think I'll spend that on something else, okay?
Do you guys happen to have a scrambler here at the airport that I could spend that money on? No? No? Okay.
These people aren't having to buy a transformer as a wedding dress, so I think I'll just fly in the regular. But she's so mad at it. She's so mad that she has to fly in coach and everybody else is in first class.
And she and Deandra are truly in coach, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, Bravo usually sends their women first class. You know, the part of the Bravo brand is, you know, luxury. So the fact that they didn't even pay for that is hilarious.
Yeah, and she gets into her seat. She tells the guy next to her, because she gets a window seat, so she has to cross everybody. She goes, I cannot wait to get off this plane. I'm like, uh-oh. Poor guy.
Oh, God. That's going to be a long flight to Denmark.
And meanwhile, the other girls are, like, totally comfortable. And Carrie's like, oh my God, I'm going to make my bed real quick on the seat, which is like a bed. Could you tell Leanne I said that? Thanks.
And Kim's like, I feel like I'm in a spa. Wow. And you know that Leanne is somewhere trying to get her touch screen to work. She's like, I'm trying to watch Garfield the movie and it will not accept my fingerprint.
And that brings us to the end of the Real Housewives of Dallas. Go get your tickets for our Real Housewives of Dallas live show next week over in Seattle. And then right after that, in December, we are going to be in Nashville, mother. Yes, so go mother. Get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com and your Christmas shirts, Ramona Christmas and Hanukkah. Go get those at Crappens Merch or Crappens, watchwhatcrappens.com. We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, for some shots of sunset. Have a great weekend. Or, well, bye. I mean, it's only Thursday, but I'm thinking forward. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bocelli, See the new album out now.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
I'm Ollie Mann, and I'm thrilled that my podcast, The Modern Man, MANN, it's a pun on my name, is part of Bose Recommends. We're a magazine show about trans, sex, and eye-popping real-life stories like these.
All you need is one headline in the Sun.
Yes.
I emptied Santa's sacks, and my career is over.
I was this close to being rescued, and I'm actually going to drown in front of these guys.
It was a little bit like he was a phone book that had been ripped in half, and so his buttocks were on the front.
Blimey. So, thank you, Bose, for picking The Modern Man. Listen and subscribe now on Acast, Apple Podcasts, or your favourite podcast app.
Enjoy your new favourite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus. On.